This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, pop experience. Welcome to another episode, to another edition of Pop Goes the Couch. I'm James Gruenberg, alongside with the man, the myth, the legend, John Arsenio D'Amato. John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, James, and thanks for inviting me on this show. I really look forward to it. We both have a shared love for what we're going to spit about, and you're a great guy. We hung out a few times, and it's great to reconnect on this adventure here. I'm looking forward to
it. Yes. Yeah, John, you know, I enjoyed all the times that we hung out together, and it is great to connect with something that we both enjoyed watching. Now, what we're talking about is the new Mighty Ducks Game Changers, and that is on Disney Plus. For those of you who want to know, where can I watch this new Mighty Ducks show? Now, John, did you see the original Mighty Ducks movie in theaters?
Yes, sir. You know, this is where the age difference is going to check in. I'm not quite sure if you were even born yet. You might have been a couple years ago, 92. What year you were born?
I actually was born in 92. So is this movie
that's the year
came
you were
out?
Born. Well, yeah. Obviously, you didn't see it in the theaters. I did, definitely. But it was something I remember. It was when I saw the previews for it, I definitely, because I love Emilio Estevez, and I'm a sucker for you know, sports movies and underdog stories and all that. So I saw it when like the first week it came. That was one of those first week that it comes out. I saw it in theaters and I freaking loved it. And then when you know, when it came on the you know, the video VCR back then, or the cable, I watched it like 20-100 times. I never got sick of it. I just loved it.
Yes, John, as this movie was coming out to theaters, I was coming out and coming into the world.
Well, so how old were you when do you remember when you first saw it?
I would have had to have been at least 6 or 7 years old. So first time I saw it was probably, you know, folk really really focusing on a movie was like 98 or 99 when I had the concept of sitting still and just watching a movie.
And you remember when you were that young, you were watching you know, it was probably it might have been a VCR or something. That's good. What do you remember about it from that young?
Well, John, to be honest, I really enjoyed. I'm one of those people who enjoyed the second movie more than the original. I loved D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Uh-huh. That's understandable because yeah. you were more grown. That's understandable. And the third, yeah, I remember enjoying the sequels, D2 and D3, but like, you know, now a lot of time has passed. I don't remember too much about the sequels, but definitely I can remember everything about the first one because I saw that one about 20 times.
Mm. Yeah. For those of you who don't know who the Mighty Ducks are, or for those of you who want to go back for the nostalgic feeling, the Mighty Ducks are the original underdog team of a bunch of misfit kids who get paired up with a coach who has to do community service. So he does this community service by being a hockey coach to kids who cannot skate, cannot score, and don't know the meaning of teamwork at all. He changes these misfits into peewee pros, and he takes them to the peewee state championship where they win the peewee state championship that year. I really enjoyed the movie, John. It's a timeless classic of, you know, underdogs and letting everyone who wants to play get their shots.
Yeah, a great redemption story, especially Emilio Estevez, who he's only doing it because he has to, community service. You know, at the beginning, he's like a rich asshole, you know, hates kids and all that. And then he grows to love and love his kids and his team. And he leads that, and he, you know, becomes a great leader and coach. And great guy.
Yes, and this series would get this movie would get two sequels. The second one is the Ducks are back, and they get to represent Team USA in the Junior Goodwill Games. I really liked the Iceland team. I thought they were the best. I thought they were the best enemy team, you know, through sport movies themselves. You know, I'm sure you probably think that the Germans were the best in Cool Runnings, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, as far as the sequels, yeah, they were good. But as far as the heel, nothing beats the coach in the original, played by Lane Smith. He was just that classic, great old school actor, just played a great prick coach.
Mr. Coach Jack Riley.
Yeah, he was great.
So John, let's dive into the pilot episode of Mighty Ducks Game Changers, shall we?
Yeah, definitely. Let me ask you before we chop it up and get real deep. Do you prefer the Disney style? I'm kind of once again a lot older. I prefer the old school style of the one a week rollout that the Disney shows do. Or do you prefer when Netflix just gives you all 90 episode season at once, and you could just sit on your fat ass with Cheetos and for 20 straight hours? Which do you like?
I feel like I like the second option of being able
you're
to
a binger.
Just sit. Yep. Yeah, I'm a binger. Yep, I did the same thing when Cobra Kai season 3 came out. I sat down and just watched the whole thing in one day because it was like, oh, it's getting good. I can't stop now.
Yeah, I pretty much did too. Either 1 or 2 days, but I prefer this way, nice slow, once a week. You put aside an hour a week, and I don't mind. And looking forward to the next episode, because also sometimes binging, like sometimes there's like a real good episodes in the middle, and you just kind of forget about them. They get glossed over because you just focused on like what happens at the end, and you're waiting for next season. And also Cobra Kai comes out whatever on the Friday, and then that's it, one day, and then that's it. You got to wait 2 years for the next season, so. This kind of slow rollout is, I like it a little better.
Yeah, I would say more of like half and half. I can wait too. And with this show that we're watching, it's really good to just wait for the next episode to come as well.
Yeah, they give you your little preview and you get hyped up for it, and then it makes you look forward to it, like Friday when you get off work or whatever your schedule is. It makes you something to look forward to every week.
Yep. Yes, it does. So we're back in Minnesota, where the original Mighty Ducks originated from in Minnesota. It's a new season for the Mighty Ducks Junior Division. So instead of being underdogs in this show, the Mighty Ducks are the championship team squad.
Yeah, right away. You see a lot's changed. They're all professional. They're the friggin' the pricks that bully the rest of the league. You can see, but just by the way they practice,
they're the new Hawks. Like the Ducks are the champions now. They have their major rank. Everyone wants to be on the Ducks.
And how does the show start with two nerds doing a friggin' podcast about hockey?
Yep, starts off with actually we meet the main protagonist's friend before we actually meet our main protagonist.
Yeah, Nick the Stick. This kid is a gem. This kid's gonna be a star. I love this kid, Nick the Stick. He's amazing. I'm gonna be fawning all over him, man.
Yeah,
his acting. I don't want to get me too here. His acting, all right. We don't want to get canceled. Yeah. I'm talking about him and his character. Great kid, man.
Yeah. So they're doing a podcast based on covering the Mighty Ducks season, as they introduce that it's a new season and tryouts are being held for the new junior division team. So instead of it being 9 to 12-year-olds, it's 12-year-olds to 14-year-olds. And we get the team of, we've been on the same team for like 6 years straight together, and we're ready to take on the next step and the next division.
Yep. And then they flash to the frantic mom, who's Alex, who's the star of the show, Lauren Graham. And you can see what she's got to go through with her job, because she's trying to get out of a job so she could take Evan, the main hero, to practice. And you see what she's got to go through with her job. Like the douche boss is giving her an assignment as she's getting ready to go home. And he says, "Oh, we need you to identify the tenants are still there so they cannot be there."
And then
he's going on. He's like, isn't that Stephanie's job? And he's like, "Oh, well, Stephanie had to take her kids to a hockey practice. She's such a great mom." And the friggin' douche boss, man.
Yes, so we meet our main two protagonists. We meet Evan and Alex Morrow. Evan's the kid. Alex is the mob, played by Lauren Graham, who was on Gilmore Girls. She played the mom in Gilmore Girls, and she was also that bartender in
Bad Santa. Yes. well, we're already here. I believe a famous scene where she said, "F me, Santa."
Yes.
Very erotic scene. Yeah.
That hot tub scene is a gem, in my opinion.
Yes, very luscious. It's been a year since then. She's still okay on the eyes.
Still looks good. She still looks the same.
Yeah.
So then, now we get where Evan steps onto the ice, and his mom's like, "Oh, do you have lots of water? Do you have sunblock?" And Evan goes, "We're playing indoors. You don't need sunblock in the
yeah, the fawning mom, yeah."
So then we meet our antagonist coach. His name is Coach T.
Coach T for a twat, man. This guy's a real douche, man.
Yeah.
They don't waste no time in showing how Coach T is.
Yeah, he says that the roster for the new division team is not set, so he wants to see tryouts, and he wants to see how everyone is, and can they adapt to the new division style of 12 to 14-year-olds. He sees that Evan is having a hard time, so he holds Evan back, and he says to Evan that he's been cut from the Ducks.
Yeah. Right away, it sets up that, you know, poor Evan is, you know, he says, "Oh, you're too small, you're not good enough." And it really cuts him down in front of the mom. He says, if you can't be great at something, don't bother. And then, the mom picks that up. So, you know, she's really affected by that "don't bother." And she used that as a rallying cry.
Yeah. So then Alex comes on to the ice to give Coach T a piece of her mind. Now, John, what I've noticed in the show is that they're showing the two types of sport parents, the ones that wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get their kids to 6 a.m. practices, who do the clinics and just take the game so seriously that they want their kids to win, win, and win. And then we get Alex, who has her son on the team, but did not go to clinics, and is just saying it should only be about fun and everything. And Alex is portraying what parents should also not do when their child is on a sports team.
Yeah, and the coach really sinks in and says, "Yeah, we're not here to have fun. We're here to win."
Yeah, so this coach is definitely Jack Riley in a nutshell.
Yeah, a younger version. He's like looks about 25-ish, long hair, pretty boy, but real douche. But yeah, but that's a great speech that Alex did, ripping the obsessive parents. You know.
Yes. So then they're at Evan and Alex's home. Alex tells Evan that they're gonna form their own hockey team. And Nick the Stick is there too. So Nick is going to be Evan's first teammate on this new hockey team.
Yeah, and then Nick gives a great line. He says, "I wouldn't really be an asset physically." He says, "I have more of a podcast body," which on our podcast network, there's about 99% of them are fat guys. We can relate to that.
Yes, we can at this point in our lives. You know, gone are the days of being Little League champions, and now we're doing podcasts.
But Nick is priceless. So Evan gets inspired to recruit his own team.
Yeah, so the next day, Evan also finds that his social life changes. Since he's no longer part of the Ducks teammates, who Evan has known for years, they want nothing to do with him. You're cut from the team. You can't hang out with us anymore. So Evan finds himself sitting with Nick, and Nick is all alone himself. So they're basically, we need to find players to be a team so I can save my social life and, you know, play hockey again.
Yeah, I love Evan. He tries. He's still got chutzpah. He goes to the table with the pretty girls, and he says, "Yeah, I know you're all popular winners at the game of life, but would you like to join our ragtag hockey team?" He's got no fear, this kid.
Yep. So that day, in the cafeteria, they try and recruit players for the team, but they have no luck. Like you said, Nick tries and says, "Listen, I know you're all pretty girls, but would you like to join our hockey team?" And you see, kids, the camera shows kids who are, outgoing and also don't fall in line, with groups of friends, as we see throughout the movie. Like, there's the weird kid. There's the kid who never leaves his basement.
And the cool kids table and all that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And even, a girl from the cool kids table is looking at Nick like, maybe, but am I ruining my own reputation by saying yes? But we'll get to that as we go on as well,
Yeah, and then they play the video of his mom's speech, which has gone viral, not really when she cuts down the don't bother speech when she cuts down the other parents, and so he kind of becomes the outcast. Up for ridicule. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Alex is having no luck in getting rink time for Evan and Nick and the rest of the kids who are eventually going to join the team.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, James. First, we got to go over when Alex and Nick, they find the video game expert.
Oh, yes. My apologies, Jay. Yes.
They find Coob.
They find Coob, who is a master at video game goalie hockey. This guy never lets a shot in on his Xbox. So Nick and Evan go and find him in his basement. They start throwing bottles at him, and he has cat-like reflexes, almost like Julie the Cat Gaffney, but he looks like he's got Julie's reflexes, but he's got Goldberg's looks.
And body, yeah. And I love, they're throwing pillows, canned soft stuff, and then he grabs the hammer, and it's like, whoa, too far.
And Evan goes, no, way too hard.
And also, I like when Nick introduced himself. He's like, oh, I think you're in my Spanish class. Hola, mi amigo.
That was really funny. And so, but then Coob is like, I don't want to leave my basement. You mean go up? No, I'm not going to be on your team.
Yeah, he says real people always let him down, which is sad, but also there's some truth to that, man.
Yes, there is truth to that, and it is sad, and it is true at the same time. So while they're having their no luck finding teammates to play with them, Alex is having trouble finding an ice rink to give the kids rink time, as they say. So she has to go. What was it, Jay? She's got to go kick the tenants out of old places.
Yeah, make them get some 3-month gym membership or some shit. She works for a real sleazy law firm or something where they try to evict tenants and stuff.
Yes, so she stumbles upon an old skating rink hockey place called the Ice Palace.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ice Palace.
And this is where we, this is where Alex meets the owner, who is our coach. Well, not coach yet, but it's Gordon Bombay, played by the famous Emilio Estevez.
Yes, terrific. Yeah, he's fixing a Zamboni. He's just kind of banging it with a hammer and stuff. And real sarcastic. You know, real bitter prick at first once he tries to meet him. Yeah, once he meets him.
Yeah, he says no hockey, no form of hockey is to be played on my ice rink or in my ice on the ice. And then Alex gives Gordon a check for an undisclosed amount of money. And then Gordon goes, okay, maybe I can loop around this no hockey rule.
Yeah. The best is Gordon, you know, they have like kids parties there. And then he's scooping up like the leftover birthday cake and the pizza and stuff. Just real degenerate, man.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jay. If you owned this ice rink, are you going to eat the leftover birthday cake?
Oh, are you kidding me? Of course, man. You can't let it go to waste, man.
Same thing.
And it's so- birthday cake pizza, I'd just be like them. You know, hero sandwiches, yeah. Whatever they leave. Sure, man.
I know. It's so funny. He goes, how old is this cake? And the his assistant says, it's about like an hour and a half to 2 hours old. And he goes,
oh, grabs the whole thing and walks around with it. Yeah,
and he delivers that classic line when Alex asks, do you want to be their coach, because you seem like a hockey guy, as she sees Gordon in his old minor league hockey jersey picture. That's a nostalgic feel from D2, where Gordon was trying out for the minor league team and he gets hurt and he has to go back to Minnesota. He has got to go back to his sharpening skates, the skate shop in D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
So he delivers that classic line that he said in the original Mighty Ducks. I hate hockey and I hate kids.
Yep. Yeah, so he shuts it down right away for the coaching opportunity. Yeah.
But he allows Alex and the kids to practice there, since Alex gave him the undisclosed amount of money on a check. Meanwhile, Evan and Nick are practicing. They meet the new kid on the block, Logan, who says he's good at hockey and he knows a lot about hockey and how to play hockey.
Yeah, he said, yeah, he just moved in from Toronto. It's like he's like this long-haired, studly teenager that's got a Canadian accent, just moved from Toronto. So they think they got a, like, the, you know, a young Wayne Gretzky here.
And then
what happens? He turns out, what happens when he gets on the ice? So
he can't skate.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Yeah, these poor kids, they thought they had a ringer, and they can't catch a break, man.
No, they cannot. So that reminds me of Fulton Reed when Gordon goes, where'd you learn how to shoot like that? And he goes, I just do it. And then he says, will you play for me? And he goes, I can't. He goes, why not? He goes, I don't know how to skate.
Yep. Yeah, well, and we don't even know if this kid could shoot yet. So we'll see. We'll see if he turns into another field. Yeah, but don't you think the kid looks like he could be like the coach's Coach T's son or something?
Yeah, I thought so too. He looks like he's got that pretty boy. He's got that pretty boy look.
Yeah, with the long hair. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Evan is mad. He's kind of complaining to his mom about not being able to catch a break, and he says, I'm the laughingstock at school because of your rant to Coach T and that people have filmed it. So then Alex goes, well, I'm going to go to the school and say, oh, stop bullying my kid. When Evan says, please don't do that, Gordon Bombay intervenes and he says, he's right. You can't fight your kid's battles all the time. And you have to let him fight his own battles and let him be who he is.
Yeah, that's the that's one of the best scenes of the episode. A real pivotal scene where Gordon he kind of shuts them both down. He tells her that she's that tells Alec that she's just as bad as the other parents, and then he tells Evan that he's shitty too because that he lets her baby him and stuff, so that he's got to grow up and do it on his own. So in a way, Gordon kind of motivates. He turns from like a prick who doesn't care, and he winds up really motivating the both of them. It's quite beautiful how he does it. Emilio Estevez is just great, man.
What I was going to say also was that he says to Evan, appreciate your mom for what she's doing. And we know that she's a single mom, no dad, no father in the family. And here's Alex trying to run around and help her kid, get motivated into playing hockey more and like just trying to go through life single, like a single parent's life.
Yeah. And also he puts a wet blanket on Evan. He says, this is a dead end. You're not like great. It's not going to end well, but at least try to do it on your own.
And the funny, when we get to it, it's funny. Gordon goes, does she cut your grapes? And Evan answers, yes. It's like, you can choke on those.
Priceless.
But
Gordon shows he's still got a little heart, even though, he's come off and, he's been a bit of prick, but he shows he still has heart, that he still cares.
Now, John, do you think Evan is Charlie Conway in more ways than one?
Yeah, they're definitely the single mom and there's definitely
the self doubt as well. Evan, I think, doubts himself just like Charlie did, and I think Charlie had that same Minnesota sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's obvious that's what they're going for here, sure.
So the next day, Evan convinces like four to five new students who are also trying to find their own way in life and in school. So he recruits Sam, Maya, Cooper, and Lauren to come out of the
house. Two chicks and the skateboard guy. This reckless skateboard guy, that's Sam, and two chicks. One's like a warrior, and she says, she's got nunchucks, and he says, don't bring the nunchucks.
That was so funny. Like, oh no, you don't have to bring those. So you got like the video, like you have the role playing fantasy nerd.
Yeah.
And then you have a girl who's not comfortable with herself, even though she's in the popular group. You got Sam, who's just. Does not crazy things, but if you tell him to do something, he'll do it. But you have to dare him first. He takes dare.
And he says, "I dare you to join our team." Yeah.
Yep. And then we also have Logan on the team too. Let's not forget that. The team is formed, and then at the end of
the wall, he blocks down when the girl throws the bottle at him. Friggin' deflects it, and he says, "I'm in. I'm the wall." Yeah.
So we think that
Goldberg Jr. Goldberg Jr.
This kid is Goldberg Jr. Yes, yep. With Julie the Cat Gaffney skills. Mm-hmm. So then it's team introduction day. Now this is like. This is a element of Bad News Bears where
it's like the pep rally where all the the stud teams are showing off their skating and the douche coach is emceeing saying come see all our great players and all our studly players and then the misfits roll in at the end.
Yeah, so it's like Roy Turner from Bad News Bears. Yep, he's introducing all the teams. And then, the Bears are like the last team with their coach. So it took a good element from Bad News Bears as well. So Coach T is the championship coach. He's introducing the teams. They are the Bears, Hawks, Cardinals, and the returning champions, the Mighty Ducks. And if you recall, John, because I do as well, all those teams were from the original Mighty Ducks, and the Hawks were the championship championship.
That's right.
I remember from Mighty Ducks, the original Mighty Ducks, that they played the Cardinals in the playoff game. They beat them with their red jerseys, and then, you know, they beat the Hawks in the Minnesota State Championship game.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of callbacks and tributes to the movies, and also moving ahead and making you root for these new characters.
Yeah, so then it looks like they're going to wrap up team introduction, but then Alex comes out and says, "Oh wait, there's one more team."
Yep.
And even Coach T is like, "Oh my God, not you again. Really? Yeah. I have to do you again."
Uh-huh.
And so Coach T goes, "Oh, we have a surprise team who just came out of the woodshed and they're here." So you see Evan, Nick, and the rest of the team, they have no hockey pads. They have all sorts of different helmets.
Yeah, football helmets.
They have no shit. Yeah. At all.
And they don't even have a team name. He's like, "What's your team name?" And then they come up with the "Don't Bother."
Don't Bother. So that's a callback to before they became the Ducks, the District 5 team, where they were using, as Gordon Bombay said, National Enquirer as their knee pads.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then Coach T makes a surprise announcement that the 12 to 14 year old division is now full contact. So they're watching basically NHL players hitting, and that's what it's going to be like for the division. Like, those are the new rules, full contact.
Yeah. And it's encouraged too. And they show like highlights of kids getting their heads taken off. They actually show like pro highlights of, guys getting their heads taken off. So
yeah,
it's kind of rough for a kid's show, especially nowadays, sensitive,
Oh yeah. Don't get me started. but their entrance wasn't too bad,
although they were a little shaky with the skating, but they attempted to enter with the flying V.
Yeah, so lots of throwbacks and callbacks to the original three movies. Well, mostly the original movie itself, too. But like we said, with full contact, it's almost like the Hawks, because the Hawks, they were brutal to the Ducks throughout the whole entire season.
Yeah.
And so now we have new full contact rules. So then Alex shows the team their new practice ring, and Gordon Bombay goes, "Well, I have to see you skate if I'm going to lend you my hockey ring." And he plays her throwback to her Whitney Houston greatest love of all skate routine.
Yeah, very touching. Yeah, she wasn't that bad. And then her the team all roots her on. It's a sweet scene. And Gordon, he's like a courage. And you could tell he's got a little love for her and the kids. So Gordon, started off as a cold prick, and now he's starting to open up. And by the end, you could pretty much guess where it's going to lead to.
Yeah. So I mean, this really goes back to the first original Mighty Ducks movie, where Gordon is opening up to kids for the first time, where he doesn't want to deal with them, but then he shows interest in Charlie and he goes, "Okay, maybe I can get used to these kids after all." And then here again, he says it, "I hate hockey and I hate kids." He doesn't want to go through what he's gone through because he's like, "I'm done with coaching." Also, John, Evan immediately picks up who Gordon Bombay is. And he says, "You're the original coach. You're the Minnesota Miracle Man." So Evan already knows who Gordon is. Yeah. Where Alex is oblivious and is like, "Who are you?"
Mm-hmm. that's why I love the the slow 1 week rollout, because you know everybody wants to build to the part where Gordon gets back in and takes over, and it's gonna be interesting when it happens or if it happens. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe Alex stays the coach for the whole season. We'll see. So there's a lot of intriguing things to look forward to.
Yes, John. Do you have any opinions on what you think episode two is going to bring? If you had to take a guess, I have a guess of my own too.
They got to find a couple more players. Maybe they'll find like a Fulton's son or a grandson or whatever, maybe they'll find some connections to the movies for some of the players, because they definitely got to find a couple more players. And then, like I said, gradually, who knows what episode, that's where everybody wants to eventually lead to Gordon, take him back over, or Gordon at least getting more involved, becoming an assistant, or he's going to be giving her advice behind the scenes and stuff. So, we'll carry it along.
What I think episode two is going to bring is their first game, and where they have no pads,
they're going to get shellacked as usual. The typical underdog story where they're going to lose 12-1 or something.
And they're going to get their butts handed to them on that ice. Yeah. And John, this is also, I can't believe it just struck like a lightning bolt. Alex works for a law firm, and I just forgot Gordon worked for Mr. Ducks.
Yeah, of course. Alford.
And it's like, oh my gosh, that's like, I felt like I just got slapped by a fish, wake up, stupid.
Yeah, same thing, a bunch of pricks. As a matter of fact, I think the original boss, I don't know if she called him Mr. Ducksworth, but it was probably one of Ducksworth's relatives.
The guy
that says, we need you to go to that building and identify the tenants that are still there so they could soon not be there.
I totally just forgot that. Oh, Gordon Bombay was a lawyer and this one's a paralegal. Alex is a paralegal, and it's so nostalgic, and it's a nostalgic feel.
Yeah, a lot of throwbacks but also a lot of they did a great job of right away making you want to root for these for the new characters and the new kids and Alex too. She's a sweetheart.
And it does take elements from other team, like from other sport movies. Like I said, it's like Little Giants when Rick Moranis says, "We're forming our own team," and then the girl's like, "We're gonna kick your little cowboy butt."
Yep.
And even Evan goes to like all of his old friends and the Ducks, "We're coming for you, so be prepared," even though he doesn't have the right element of teammates just yet. And if you look like them walking, they don't really know how to skate. They all have different helmets on. Even Coach T goes, "That's a football helmet."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect. They suck you in right away because the kids are so likable. Alex and Nick, of course, and even Gordon, even when he's being a prick, he's funny as hell, man. They just suck you right back in. There's a couple times I was getting ready to drop a tear or two already, and this is only episode one. I was crying like a big pussy. I know, man.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that word.
That's right. We have an editor. We'll put the parental guidance up. Even though it's a kids' show, we have the adult rating.
I have to say, John, I really liked your answer for one of the 80s trivia questions.
That's a good plug for the trivia show on another network. If you like a car crash, listen to
It's on the same network as this. We're almost done with the first round of the Place to Be Nation Pop Trivia Tournament. I won the Harry Potter round.
Yeah, congratulations. You won't be hearing me on that show. Spoiler if you haven't heard my trivia disaster, but my one and only
John came up short to Scott Criscolo in the 80s trivia round. Yeah. But John, before we sign off, John, do you have anything that you want to plug? We're allowed to plug.
Yes, sir.
want to.
On this network here, we have the Year in Pop with Andy, Scott, and Dr. G. We're cranking out the 80s right now, and we'll be rolling with that. And on the mothership, the wrestling feed, the reason why we all got together and meet will be we just dropped this Tuesday in Texas, and we did it on a Monday, and and we dropped it just last Tuesday, ironically. So we get into the nitty gritty of 1991 on that. And there's a lot of other good shows. You have a couple myself, which you're going to tell us about.
Yes, I'm on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. I have my own podcast with Mr. Michael Cook, who is the official timekeeper on all of our trivia tournaments that we have done. It's called Extreme Resurrection, where me and Michael look back at ECW when it was brought back to WWE television in 2006 all the way to 2010. We're on the crash course to the debut of CM Punk. That's coming out soon. Rob Van Dam's suspension is almost done. And the end of Kurt Angle's career, too, is coming to an end in WWE as well, because he's in ECW at the time. So, yeah, it's a very fun show. If you remember watching ECW on Sci-Fi, Extreme Resurrection will bring you those memories back. Horrific or great, who knows, really?
Yes, and on the North-South connection, we have the with Justin and Jenny, we're doing the old-school ECW three-way dance. And we're in March of 96 now, so it's quite a time. Tommy Dreamer, Raven, all that wild stuff.
Yes, indeed. Well, that about wraps it up here on Pop Goes the Couch. I'm James Gruenberg. He's John Arsenio D'Amato. And we will see you back here for episode 2 of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Yes, sir. Peace.
We got spirit, and I know you feel it. There's no give up, give up, give up, give up in us. We got give up, give up, give up, give up, give up, give up.